Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I'm just home, got home the day before Thanksgiving from 2.5 weeks in Israel. And during the time we were there, there was a war in which the Hamas from Gaza rained down rockets, more than 1,000, upon Israel. And Israel responded, targeting terrorists and weapons caches. So I was there. We were there during that time. We had 30 pastors who were mostly brand new, and the tour was sponsored by CUFI, Christians United for Israel, and headed up by Pastors Mack and Lynn Hammond. They had asked me to go along as a teacher. So we drove down from the north. I shared how we'd been there and around the northern Syrian and Lebanese borders. But we drove down from the Galilee and Tiberias into Jerusalem. That's always a highlight, driving into Jerusalem. And so we timed our entry to God's holy city with purpose. The bus drivers know just when to begin playing the holy city. And we arrived at Mount Scopus, the oversight there, just before sunset. Jerusalem and the Temple Mount from that gorgeous view glow pink in the evening light. We drove then to the Temple Mount and arrived just as Shabbat was coming in. The days are very short now in Israel, so Shabbat comes in just after 4 in the afternoon. You know, the evening and the morning is the day in Israel, just as it was to God in the book of Genesis. So we were at the wall as the Shabbat came in with hundreds of others. Jews were worshiping and praying down at the wall and singing, dancing, and tourists, mostly Christians, were observing the wonderful Shabbat celebration. I was standing looking over the wall at the men's side. Most of the really lively action, singing and dancing, takes place there. I don't know why, but most of the women on the women's side pray quietly. They could sing and dance if they wanted, and occasionally you'll get a young group that'll do it, but mostly they just sit and pray. So I watch what happens on the men's side, and I was observing a circle of soldiers who were dancing passionately and singing, Am Israel Chai, Oda Vinu Chai. It goes like this, Am Israel Chai, Am Israel Chai, Am Israel, Am Israel, Am Israel Chai, Oda Vinu Chai, Oda Vinu Chai, Oda Vinu, Oda Vinu, Oda Vinu Chai. I joined them in the happy song and sang the words, you know, just so happily. And I recognized from the conversation of two women standing beside me that they were Finnish. So I asked them questioningly, Suomi? That's what Finns call themselves. Yes, they said. And I told them of my many visits to Finland in the 80s and 90s as we went into Soviet Russia. They immediately warmed to me, as not too many people recognize their language. Usually only Finns speak Finnish, and all Finns speak 6 or 7 languages. So they asked, so they can communicate with the world. So they asked me, what do the words mean of the Am Israel Chai? I interpreted the words. Am Israel Chai means the nation of Israel lives, and Oda Vinu Chai means our fathers live on, meaning the patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the same idea as Jesus expressed in Matthew 22:31-2. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, Jesus said, Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So that's the idea of the line, Oda Vinu Chai, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob live on. The joyous worship and sincere prayer at the wall, as well as our happy conversation, was interrupted by a loud, clear voice speaking over a loud speaker system that was excellent. The voice came. The speaker system was not scratchy, but it was clear. And it's probably one of the best in the earth to communicate with people there at the wall. But the voice was in Hebrew. And those who understood Hebrew started running for the arches, which mark the bathroom area and the underground tunnels along the wall. Our guide recognized that many Christian tourists did not understand Hebrew, so he asked police to make the announcement in English. The man said, I cannot. So Ofer, our guide, announced in English that two rockets were fired toward Jerusalem, run for the shelters under the arches. Some people heard the sirens, which also announced the approaching rockets, and they knew what to do. Every time a rocket is fired, a siren sounds, and the people in the area know how much time they've got to get to a shelter. So those folks, of course, began running as quickly as they heard the siren. I ran to the arches that were just in front of the men's restroom. There was no panic where I was, but a sense of protection. One young Jewish boy said in broken English, "The God will protect us." We were in complete agreement. No fear, and truthfully, there's no place I would rather have been right then than where I was. I was actually performing my ministry as a witness to the end of days happenings. Years ago, I sought the Lord as to what I was, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, and he did tell me about those things, but he said to me, "You are a witness," and he gave me the scripture, Acts 26:16, which he spoke to the apostle Paul and said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you." I call this radio broadcast the voice of one witness, because God called me and told me years and years ago, "I'm going to have you witness, I'm going to have you see the things of the end times, and then you will tell others." And so that's happened all the way from all our years in Russia and all the things in Israel and all my life in Brussels and every place. That's how it's been. So I knew that that day, as I was standing under those arches, I was again witnessing the things of the last days. And here I am fulfilling the witness because I'm telling you about it. One of our lady pastors, however, was separated from the rest of our group and went under another arch. She reported that where she stood, there were a group of young Israeli girls crying and very frightened. So just for a brief moment, we were there probably about 20 minutes before we heard the all clear. We felt what many Israelis have been experiencing for years. In the years since Gaza was given up, Gaza is a 20-mile long, about 4 or 5 mile wide strip, and Ariel Sharon gave it up. There was much U.S. pressure to do so. And since Israel gave up their God-given land of Gaza and drove out the Jews who had been living there for many years, it has turned into a terrorist enclave. Various terrorist groups from Al-Qaeda, Al-Aqsa Mosque Brigade, Islamic Jihad, and many others operate from there. The area of Gaza is loosely governed by, overseen by the governing Hamas, who rained down rockets upon Israel for all these years, and especially in the 8 days of the recent war when they rained down more than 1,000 rockets. Formerly, and at the time that we were there, everyone recognized the rocket range that the Hamas had was 40 kilometers or 25 miles. Everyone within this range is accustomed to hearing warning sirens and instructions to go to the shelters. That's been happening, and you've heard of the town of Sderot, where our friend Ronnie Levy lives and his family. They live exactly on that 40-mile-kilometer area, and they know to go to the shelters. They have actually one in their home. But recently, during this battle, the Hamas received rockets from Iran called Fajr rockets that would reach 90 kilometers or 56 miles. So this put Tel Aviv within their range, and they fired these rockets at Tel Aviv. But no one, absolutely no one, thought they would send rockets to Jerusalem. They would not, it was thought, because of the risk of hitting the Islamic Dome of the Rock. But anyway, when we were there and we were told to go and seek shelter, two rockets were fired at Jerusalem. They did land harmlessly in open fields. Some Christians we know associated with Sister Gwen Shaw watched the rockets in the air from their prayer house and began to rebuke them. They saw the trajectory change. I do know the Lord had them, had us, and had many prayers around the world alerted for that attack. There's another great blessing, and I believe the Lord gave the knowledge of how to develop it in the Iron Dome system. The anti-missile system, called the Iron Dome system, can detect whether a missile will land in an open field or on a building or populated area. In the latter case, the Iron Dome's anti-missile missile goes up, intercepts, and destroys the enemy missile. A good system, but it's terrible to have to live with the constant firings. Many more than 1,000 missiles were fired in those 8 days. Now, since there has been a truce, of course, the Gaza, the people from Gaza are claiming great victory. And there were some billboards posted. I saw pictures of online today. I think it was Art Sheva that had them. And they are posted on 3 major junction roads in Gaza, featuring depictions of Fajr 5, that's F-A-J-R, 5 missiles fired at Israel. And these big billboards are expressing gratitude to Iran. Gazans offered very public thanks to Iran on Tuesday for helping them, that's yesterday as I'm making this, for helping them in this month's fight against Israel when Iranian-made missiles were fired out of the Palestinian enclave towards Jerusalem and towards Tel Aviv. That's the only reason why they could reach it. They got these shipped in from, I don't know how they came, ship or how they, but I think maybe some by ship. Maybe some also came by the tunnels down through Egypt. But they indeed did reach Gaza. And these billboards said, "Thank you, Iran," said large billboards on 3 major road junctions in the Gaza Strip. The first time there has been such public acknowledgement of Iran's role in the arming of Islamic terrorists in the tiny territory. The message was written in Arabic, English, Hebrew, and Farsi. The posters also depicted the Iranian Fajr 5 rockets that were used for the first time to target Israel's 2 largest population centers. No one was injured in the attacks. But since Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip in 2005, terrorists have fired more than 8,000 rockets into Israel. Over 1 million Israelis are currently living under threat of rocket attacks. Now, that's when it was the 40-mile range. Now there are more since they have a 90-mile range. More than 500,000 Israelis have less than 60 seconds to find shelter after a rocket is launched from Gaza into Israel. Most rockets launched from Gaza into Israel are capable of reaching Israel's biggest southern cities. So tomorrow we're going to look at some of the differences in how this war was fought from the Gazan side and from the Israeli side. We will be glad to have you here, and we do want you to get our books because we have to stick with the Bible. Our heads might tell us one thing, but we have to go with the Bible. We have to go with what the Scriptures say, and I put together the Scriptures. One little book I've made that you can carry in your pocket or purse is God's Promises of the Land to Israel, just the Scriptures. The other one is Judgment of the Nations for How They Treat Israel, and in it I listed the Scriptures which tell that nations as nations will be judged for how they treat Israel, and that's going on right now, folks. So we invite you to be back with us here tomorrow at the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. This is Billy Brim saying Shalom.